Hello, everybody.
Hi.
And welcome to Superman's
Other Pals.
That's right, Superman's Other Pals.
I couldn't tell if you were waiting for me to finish the sentence or were you just doing your dramatic pause.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
I'm glad that you were able to, that you just jumped right in.
Eh.
You yes-anded.
I yes-anded.
Do you know what yes-anding is?
Yes, you made sure that I know what yes-anding is.
Okay, very important. And very useful in life, except in court.
Oh, yeah. Never do yes-and in court.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, Mr. Roland, did you...
Did you murder your wife?
What? Yes. And...
That would be terrible.
Not very good times
no.
to use the yes-and. All right, so we are here. This is a podcast, in case you didn't know. But really, why is it that you don't know? Because it's a podcast. You downloaded it. You found this. Somebody, somehow, some way, you found out about this, and you have downloaded it. So
there.
So you must know about this. So we're going to discuss the Silver Age comic book. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, from DC Comics. Now, I will be discussing this. My name is Gary Roland.
My name is Ella Plum Roland.
Now, Ella Plum Roland, because we share a last name, it is probably apparent that we are related in some way.
He is my dad.
Yes. He is.
He is.
He is my dad. That is the royal he is. My dad. So all of the, just to get started, all of the artwork in this issue was drawn by Kurt Swan, a very famous
DC, comic book art person.
One of the big heavy hitters of his day.
Mm-hmm.
Predated like Jack Kirby, or was a contemporary of Jack Kirby.
Something to do with Jack Kirby.
That's right. We're going to, and we're going to go through this page by page. We're going to discuss not only the stories,
but the ads.
The advertisements and the other little minor diversions that you might find
in this comic.
You don't find those as much in comics anymore.
Every couple of pages, you'll find like an ad.
Right, but it's like usually like.
But it won't be like pages of ads.
And you usually can't send away for a submarine.
Or start selling stuff.
Right. So this is issue number 8. And it is Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Yay!
It is October. But it is not released in October.
When was it released?
I don't know.
But it wasn't released in October.
But it wasn't necessarily released in October.
So it could have been released in October.
It could have been, like... They give you dates, but
they're not always accurate.
They aren't very accurate always. There are many factors involved. I'm still trying to figure out what the actual deal is, but because of the printing process and other things like they had to get stuff approved by the Comics Authority, sometimes it took a little longer. And if anybody knows more about this, send it in a letter. Like a written letter. Yeah, in a calligraphy. And
so now you're asking for calligraphy.
Yeah,
on top
I want everything
of the
to be
letter?
I want everything to be illuminated and historic and heraldically accurate.
This is a bit much to ask.
So no color on color, people. Color on metal.
Is this what you were talking about yesterday?
Maybe.
Yes, it was.
Probably.
With the Ravenclaw thing?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. How all of the houses in Harry Potter were made heraldically accurate because you do color on. Okay, we are getting way, way off topic at this point.
Yeah, we're good at that.
So let's just start with the beginning. So everything was written by Otto Binder and drawn by Kurt Swan. And this is all property of DC Comics.
Yay!
You know DC stands for in DC Comics?
District of Columbia?
No! I looked this up. It's because of Detective Comics. Detective Comics was a comic company that made Batman.
Okay.
And then I guess they started buying up a lot of other things.
Okay.
And they became, they were put under the umbrella of Action Comics and Detective Comics. So they just called it DC.
As in Detective Comics?
Right.
Cool. So it's I don't know if that's Comics cool. Comics?
I don't know if that's cool. But that's
interesting.
But DC. And actually, usually you'll hear people refer to it as it's Marvel Comics or DC.
Yeah, no one really says DC Comics.
Right, because the C in it's like saying ATM machine. Right. All right, so this is issue number 8. And the lead story is featuring Jimmy Olsen, crooner.
What's a crooner?
Crooner is just a fancy word for singer.
It sounds weird.
It is, but there was a time when that was definitely, it was a word that was definitely used.
It sounds
it's not
weird
really
today.
Used anymore.
I can tell, because I don't know what that word meant.
Frank Sinatra was considered a crooner, as was Dean Martin and Bing Crosby. Do any of these names ring a bell?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So they were considered crooners.
All right.
And they usually sang with a big band.
Big band.
And like before rock and roll came, they were crooners. Guys were crooners. Women were not crooners.
What were women? Were women just singers?
I think they were ingenues.
That is an interesting word. We're getting off topic again.
Right, but that's fine. And if anybody knows anything about this, I want you to write it on a parchment.
Oh, dear.
Illuminate it and send it to us.
Dad.
I will provide a address if you send us your email address. Or your address. We're going to provide an email address at the end of this episode.
We are.
I'm just going to tack it on because okay. This is before we have anything really set in stone in terms of like social media and email addresses and such like that. So at the end, you email us, say you want to send us a letter, and I'll send you our address. Sound good?
Sound good.
Right. That'll keep the corrections to a minimum, and the well actuallys to a minimum.
Well, actually,
I'll. Okay, so on the we have the stage door. Okay, so here we have Jimmy Olsen. He's surrounded
by fangirls.
By what they would refer to as a Bobby Soxer. Do you know what a Bobby Soxer is?
No.
It's
it sounds strange.
It was sort of a slang 50s term for teenager in the mainstream media.
That is so weird.
Usually teenage girls, because they wore Bobby socks.
What's a Bobby sock?
I don't know. I think it's a short sock. I'm pretty sure it's a short sock. And once again, if anybody really knows, write it in a letter.
I'm just calling them 1950s fangirls.
Right.
That's what they are.
And, you know, they just popped off from the soda shop. And now they're running over and Superman is arriving and he's saying, "Great Scott, I've got to rescue Jimmy. He's in worse trouble in his new career than as a reporter."
His new career is apparently as a singer.
As a crooner.
I'm calling him a singer.
Okay. So that's sort of the thing, the splash to like, get us all in to say, why is it that Jimmy Olsen is a crooner? He's a Cub reporter.
And also, for some people, what's a crooner?
Well, yeah. But we've been through that already. So, the first inside cover, we have the art scholarship. The very famous, you have to draw a picture. Normally, it's of a pirate or Skippy.
This is Bob Hope.
That's right. Do you know who Bob Hope is?
Vaguely.
Bob Hope.
No!
Just to let you know, let all the people out there know who are young.
He sounds familiar.
He was
a comedian?
huge comedian.
He was a comedian.
He's probably one of the most famous comedians of his time.
Did his nose actually look like Pinocchio?
A little bit. Okay. That is a caricature, but Bob Hope was known for he was like one of the funniest guys, considered one of the funniest guys of his time. He made a series of movies, either by himself or with, he was teamed with Bing Crosby, the crooner. And he also owned a lot of property in the Valley, San Fernando Valley.
Cool.
And still has a huge estate out there. And
he's still alive?
No. He lived to be 100.
That's
he died
good.
A few years ago.
That's
but,
pretty good.
But so you draw Bob Hope and you get a scholarship to school.
That's worth $335.
Right, and that's $1957. I think it's $1957.
$1950-something.
No, $1955.
$1955. What does that even mean? I mean, I know that... I'm just going to stop talking.
What?
Nothing.
Meaning, like, at the time...
At the time, $355
would be worth a lot... Would be worth a lot more now.
Than $335
right.
today.
Like, yeah, you couldn't pay for... You could barely pay for your equipment for an art school. Even a correspondence course for an art school. All right, so we're going to get through the first. We're going to get through the first story. The first story is known as "The Betrayal of Superman."
An announcer voice.
Yeah. Can you ever imagine Jimmy Olsen?
You can't read it.
I can't read it. My eyes are old.
It's so funny.
Here we go. A little bit more.
I would read it, but it's so far away. And I'm not good at announcing voices.
That's right. I don't have much. So, I don't have much, so I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to keep with this.
All right.
Can you remember? Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Stop laughing.
If you tell me to stop laughing, I'm going to laugh harder.
Are you done?
Not quite. Hold on.
Are you done? Are you done?
You asking that? Hold on. You can cut all this out, right?
I probably won't, though.
Dang it! There you go.
Is it? Can I go now?
If I say go, it probably means you can go now.
Do I need to unplug you? Do you delete your track?
No.
All right. Can you ever imagine Jimmy Olsen being disloyal to his pal, Superman? Impossible as it seems, that is exactly what happens when Cub Reporter adopts the role of Private Eye, paid by a client to reveal Superman's identity. Your heart will sink. Until you see just how and why Jimmy carries out the betrayal of Superman. And in our splash panel, we see a big thing. It says, Mr. X, Superman's identity. I'm sorry, Superman's other identity. And they have the Superman clues. They have his fingerprints, his footprints. And Jimmy is saying, all the Superman data I collected fits only one man. I'm ready to write his name. I'm ready to write in his net. What? All the Superman data I collected fits only one man. I'm ready to write in his name for my client. And Superman then goes, I guess I can't stop you, Jimmy. It isn't against the law. Go ahead. So Superman's
nervous.
Do you want to tell the people, give him a very broad overview, or would you prefer that I do?
I think I can try the broad overview.
Okay. So in this story,
Jimmy Olsen has like a day off from work or something, I think.
Sure.
And he goes to see his old friend who's a private detective, and suddenly has some crazy sickness that has like struck him down or something. And then Jimmy's like, you need to go to the hospital, and I'm overusing the word like, but
that's fine.
Jimmy tells him that he has to go to the hospital, and the private detective says something along the lines of, I have this case that I have to take, and it will pay my hospital bill. And so, can you please solve this case for me so that I can pay my hospital bill?
Right. So, yeah, basically, we start off, Jimmy Olsen visits his friend. He's in need of a story. And he invites his friend. He goes to his friend Dick Crane, and he might have a case. He's a guy who's never failed a case, and he hears a groan. He goes in. He finds out that Dick Crane is, he's sick with a mystery illness.
They don't mention the illness.
They don't say what it is, but they know.
They know what it is, but they don't say what it is.
They don't say what it is, but he needs an operation. This was a very common thing in the time.
People don't seem to think that kids know anything.
Well, also, this is also this is one of those, this is cutting commentary on the modern healthcare system. That this guy's going to die because he doesn't have money.
Dad?
Yeah?
This is the 1950s comic book.
Right.
And this is aimed towards children.
Sure.
So it's probably not a political
comic. No, they sneak it in.
Sure.
So, they call the ambulance. The ambulance is on his way. And Dick Crane hands him this envelope and says,
find a missing person. Help! Pay for my thing.
And Jimmy Olsen says, super duper.
Does he actually say super
duper? No. But
I hope not.
But he says, okay, I'll take care of it. We'll get you, we'll get this done. We'll get you out there. And we'll get you fixed up. We'll get you the money. We'll pay for your operation. Everything will be fine. So he opens, and the envelope, he's like, all your instructions are in here. So he hands him an envelope. And in the envelope is a note. And it says, your assignment is to track down Mr. X,
which is Superman's secret identity.
Right. See me for details. Over final $1,000 fee. Bart Gordon, 18 Oak Street. Am I boring you?
No, I'm tired.
All right. So, so Jimmy Olsen's like, oh no! He's got his hand to his face like he went, oh, ay, ay, ay. He proclaims, yipes. And he's like, all right, well, I guess I have to try to do this. But he also it is very obvious that he doesn't want to. Because, they're buds. So
he dresses up as a Sherlock Holmes impersonator.
Okay, so as we all know, from previous episodes,
he likes disguises.
Yeah, he disguises himself a lot, and he feels that You know, if he just showed up as a cub reporter, he might get recognized. So he delves into his
costume supply.
Exactly, he delves into his costume supply.
Private store.
He does. He apparently has an enormous collection of all kinds of costumes. But in this costume,
where is he getting these costumes?
I don't know.
Are these like his? Do these belong to the Daily Planet?
I'm not sure. All I know, like all we know, is that whenever he needs a costume,
he has one.
He has the right thing. And in this case, he decides that he is going to dress up and become British.
And you can read his accent. Like, you can see
it is
how bad it is.
Like he might as well be like a pizza guy. And, like, have, like, a huge, like, Mario Brothers mustache and going, "Hey, I got it a pizza! Who ordered a pizza? I find it a Superman for you!"
He's the British version of that.
Right. He's basically like, he's like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
But worse.
And he's just, like, uses every, like, first of all, the thing, he's like, "Bart Gordon might cancel the case if he knew as a mere cub reporter, but he'll certainly trust a trained sleuth from Scotland Yard. Jolly A what, rather?"
What?
It's really like, jolly A, rather.
What?
These are all things that people say in Britain.
Are they?
Yes.
You're sure?
Absolutely. I've seen, British things.
You sound unsure.
So he then gets on a bicycle, which, of course, as we all know, all British police officers ride bicycles. And I think some of them do.
But not all of them.
But not all of them. And I think it's just like the beat cops. But he's like, "Of course, I'm going to show up on a bicycle because, as we all know, British..."
I don't know, maybe that was a thing in the 1950s?
I don't think so. And if anybody knows...
Maybe that was the stereotype in the 1950s?
I don't know. I really don't know. So
it's confusing.
So he shows up at Bart Gordon's house, and he then throws out his accent. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh, jolly meeting you, old bean. Bad news, Dick Crane is in the hospital. But his new assistant, Junior Inspector at your service..." I'm sorry. "Junior Inspector Cedric of Scotland Yard at your service. I'll uncover the secret guise of your..." I'll discover the secret guise of your quaint American hero, Super Chap.
Oh my god.
Because as we all know, in Britain...
British people don't just say chap every time they need to say the word man.
And you know...
I'm pretty sure British people can say Superman.
They call him everything. They call him Super Gent.
Super Bloke.
Super Bloke.
Everything except Superman.
Right. Because British people can't say the word man?
I don't know.
But,
this is a bad accent.
So, what you find out is, okay... He wants to find out the identity of Superman.
Because he wants to sell it.
Right.
For lots
and lots of money. And so he gives them this ironclad contract. The contract reads, "I agree to bring you Mr. X, Superman's secret identity, in the flesh. When I point him out to you, he will be wearing no mask or other disguise. He will not be a dummy or in a dark room. He will be trapped without escape, except by exposing his superpowers." And, you know, so this worries Jimmy. And he says, "Pip, pip, and tally-ho."
Oh my god. This isn't going to stop for the rest of the story.
I think that this is going to... This story may very well set relations back...
a lot.
Between the U.S. and Britain. 100 years. So,
this accent is causing me, like, pain.
So he goes back to the Daily Planet, and he meets up with Clark Kent, and he says, "As usual, I made out the weekly schedule of public appearances,
And so he writes out, so apparently Jimmy Olsen gets a schedule of all of Superman's public appearances from Clark Kent for some reason.
Interesting.
And then he's like, I am just going to start gathering clues based on this. So he goes to all these different places and he gets his fingerprints.
From a cornerstone.
Right. And he gets his weight.
By subtracting a bunch of the weight of a bunch of rocks Superman lifted from the total weight on the scale.
Right. And then he gets his footprints and his height by all these, like, super methods. So, you know.
They're actually really just kind of common sense methods.
Right. But also, you know, they utilize math. So all the kids out there, just to let you know, math is important. He gathers up all this data and he has to report into this guy, Bart, every day and find out what he's made, what he's got, right? So he then, like, takes a picture of Superman. He's like, not only am I going to, like, not only did I get his height, weight, and the client's like, this is nothing. But he's like, hey, I also drew all these things on Superman's face. Like, there are pictures of him with, like, a mustache and glasses and beard and weird hair. And he's got, like, three different kinds of mustaches, a Van Dyke, a full beard, like, you know, like, British pince-nez sunglasses. He's
got Civil War soldier chops, probably, at right. some point.
And so he shadows the Sida and makes sure he's Super Sir. Oh, he's also Super Sir.
Oh my god. This is terrible.
Right. But you know that there was a guy who wrote this, that
this
Otto Binder
so
was so amused with
terrible.
Himself. But he was so amused with himself when he wrote this.
Yeah, but I'm not.
No. But it's great. But
for
it's not.
You.
So what? He has some kind of plan. And the plan is, he says, the boss sent me to write up that new sensational model house.
Model house.
So then Clark Kent, he shows up as Clark Kent. And in the bushes, we see Jimmy. And Jimmy
calls this person
and says, he's in the house. And what I didn't notice for the first time is that Jimmy is wearing a monocle.
This is terrible.
This is British face. I don't know. What would you call this? White face? Pasty face?
Dad!
What would you... Like, this is just horrible. Like, it is such a horrible stereotype of being British.
You're the one who was applauding it, like, not even a minute ago.
Okay, so he thinks he's trapped him in this house. And so he calls up his Mr. Gordon, and he says, I got him trapped in a house.
Yes, because houses are Superman-proof.
Right. Well, no, because this is a thing where it's like, he's got him trapped, he's in a house, it's not a dark room. If you look at the thing, you know,
it meets all the criteria.
It meets all the criteria. Not a dark room, he's not wearing a mask, he's, you know, he's dressed in plain clothes.
He's not a dummy.
Right, not a dummy. He's all those things. And he's like, you know, look, I got $1,000 here, but I have to go in and see for sure that it's Superman.
Before I pay you.
So then he goes inside, and Superman has his back turned to him. He's still dressed as Clark Kent, but he has his back turned to... To Mr. Gordon. Not to be confused with Commissioner Gordon.
No, Commissioner Gordon's in Gotham right now.
Right. So he sneaks in the house very slightly. And he pulls out a gun.
Is he forgetting that that's Superman?
I guess
he has,
not.
Like, super hearing?
So what happens is, Bart Gordon pulls out a gun and shoots this person in the back. Now, the bullet bounces off.
What if that had been a civilian?
Exactly!
That is a terrible thing to do!
Exactly! I'm going to shoot this person!
That I've never met before.
Right. So, I'm either going to prove that it's Superman, or be a murderer.
This is terrible.
But, he turns out, does bounce off. And he builds up a camera and is about to take his picture. And Superman's like, oh, I can't hide it, can I? And he said, no.
And then he flies through a wall.
That's right. He flies through a wall.
Without exposing his face.
And he goes back outside.
And changes
uniform. Changes into Superman, shows up. And Mr. Gordon is like, well, he tells
Jimmy.
No. Junior Inspector Cedric.
His name is Jimmy.
Junior Inspector Cedric.
I refuse to refer to him as using that name.
And he's like, you didn't meet my terms.
Yes, he did.
I totally did.
He wasn't this. He wasn't that.
Right.
He wasn't wearing a mask.
Didn't say anything about...
Flying through a wall.
This is like... you know, like Air Bud. This is what I will call the Air Bud clause. It's like, there's nothing in the rules that says a dog can't play basketball.
It's implied.
No. But there's nothing in the rules. And so that's how animals get to play sports throughout the ages. You know, like for a while they were saying, you know, there's nothing in the rules that says a Boy Scout can't be a girl.
There isn't?
Nope. Apparently there wasn't. Because everybody would figure, you know, they're the Boy Scouts.
Did they make a rule?
I think eventually they did.
Why can't it just be the Scouts?
Well, they have Girl Scouts. And there are, like, generic Scouts. I don't know. And if anybody does know...
Write a letter.
Right. No, in calligraphy. Heraldically accurate calligraphy.
Let's not require the heraldically accurate calligraphy.
No, I feel that they should be heraldically correct, and they should be sent with a coat of arms that is also heraldically correct.
Dad,
no color on color, people.
Dad?
Yes?
We don't have a coat of arms that is heraldically correct. So it's not terribly fair to expect it of others.
So I won't write myself any letters. Correcting myself. So everybody is showing everybody and
then they pay the guy's hospital bill.
Takes the money from him and like Mr. Gordon's like, hey, that's not true. You didn't meet Mike. And Superman's like, tough luck, sucker. but he says it in his own Superman way.
Which is less jerk facey.
Right. But Jimmy Olsen is there and he's in his regular purple suit that he is and bow tie. And he puts on his monocle and he's like, pip, pip, super chump.
Oh my God.
And
no.
I'm so glad that we can't hear the horrible accent that is being played.
Stop.
But as a postscript, they go and they find out, you know, they give, what's his name? They give Dick Crane back his money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you're all set. Dick Crane's like, thanks. Like, you were able to do this without exposing Superman. That's great. And then, as a postscript, Jimmy
is
like
now
destroying.
The second postscript.
He's destroying all of his evidence.
Except for the one that looks exactly like Clark Kent. How does no one put this together?
No one. So he's like, hey. He's like, this is a terrible. He's like, I'm a terrible artist. Look, I didn't even draw these glasses correct. Because apparently Jimmy Olsen is the stupidest person alive.
Well, no. All the co-workers fall for it, too. Everyone that Clark Kent ever meets falls for it. Glasses don't make you look that different. When you put on your glasses when you don't want to wear contacts, you still look like you.
I don't. Look, you are preaching to the choir. So next we have, on the next thing we have, it. So that is our first story.
Oh, God.
And then we have an ad for the new Schwinn American with Bendix multi-speed gears and power brakes.
Schwinn.
What did I say?
Schwinn.
Schwinn.
He said swim.
You know how children just love any opportunity to correct their parents.
Yeah, but it was funny. It sounded like
so it's the new Schwinn American, and there's a kid. There's a kid with a beaver hat.
Cap.
Dressed kind of like Davy Crockett. And
because in the ad it mentions Davy Crockett trading his something or other for the bike.
Which is weird because bikes weren't around when Davy Crockett was around.
They're saying he would.
Well, yeah. But also, Davy Crockett was very popular.
Yeah.
It was a very popular TV show that kids loved. Which is why kids in that era, you will see them with coonskin caps.
And the tassel-y leather jackets.
Right. So, then we have yet another public service announcement with the National Social Welfare Assembly.
Bye, Buzzy.
We have our friend Buzzy saying, "What are you getting out of school?" And everybody's knocking Buzzy for being a goody-two-shoes and going to school.
And liking school.
Right.
Not only
like,
going to school.
Right. And then a guy comes here and he's like, so there's a guy named Jan, who I'm going to guess is named Jan.
Jan.
And he's from a foreign country. And he says like, "Yeah, get a load of Jan here. He's going to go back to school." And Jan was like, "I attended school and tried very hard to learn everything I could to prepare myself for the future. But everything was strange to me and I was very lonely. But soon I began to make friends and learned how to get along with others.
Buzzy helped him.
I found a whole new world opening up before me in sports, dramatics, and shop work."
So like wood shop?
Yes. So, you know, he's like, "Hey!" And Buzzy's like, "That's right. School is cool." He doesn't actually say that school is cool, but basically says, you know, "Hey! He's hit the nail on the head. We take all of these things so much for granted that we forget we get a free education." Because it's once again a something that... Because Americans love education.
I'm trying very hard to bite back a few comments right now.
As well you should.
Uh-huh.
This isn't a political podcast.
Uh-huh.
It's not like we're... I don't know. I don't listen to any political podcast.
Uh-huh.
This isn't Meet the Press.
Uh-huh.
Or the McLaughlin Group.
Uh-huh.
Or any of those things.
Uh-huh.
And although the last story was a biting social commentary on the healthcare system of the United States.
And British stereotypes.
And how much British people suck. are weird.
What?
So we're going to move on to the next story.
Good idea.
The next story is Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. "How would you like to be Superboy for a while? Can you imagine what thrills you'd experience with your newfound super strength and invulnerability? I know I mispronounced it, but don't say anything. Your X-ray vision and your power to fly. Of course, that could never happen to you."
In the waggly eyebrows.
"But it does happen to Jimmy Olsen in a way when the young cub reporter joins forces with Superman, who makes him Jimmy Superboy for a day." And Superboy is so we see Jimmy Olsen dressed in a Superman gear holding his hand, and Jimmy's saying, "Yippee, Superboy flies again!
Woohoo!"
And Superman says, "Just don't let go of my hand, Jimmy, or he won't be flying much longer." So what we find out is that Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen have returned to Smallville, which is, as I'm sure many of you know,
Superman's childhood home.
Right. Where he was known as Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back and they sort of go down memory lane, and you find out that in Superboy, that when Superboy was in Smallville, you know, like, everybody missed him, and it wasn't it great when Superboy was here, and they meet all these people.
And there's a Superboy museum.
Right. And nobody, I guess Clark isn't from Superville, but isn't from Smallville, but maybe he has to be. But the thing is, like, they see his parents.
That's not his parents.
Right. But they go to his parents' graves. Oh, right, right. So it's Jonathan and Martha Kent. Jonathan and Martha Kent.
Mm-hmm.
That's his. Those are his parents.
Uh-huh.
And so then they see Mr. and Mrs. Crane, and they used to play with his pals Henry, and then they say, Henry is missing. Henry's been missing ever since you left town. And so they go to the Superboy Museum, where they meet Cal Trent, the custodian of the museum, where they find a giant metal cup that disappeared, but all these other things that Superboy had. And, you know, a guy is talking to his son, and his son says, gee, I wish I could have seen Superboy do stuff. And then Jimmy Olsen gets an idea. And Jimmy Olsen
takes the Superboy costume off of the Superboy mannequin.
Right. And leaves him naked.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how anatomically correct it is.
Uh-huh.
But jumps in front of a giant bowling ball.
Uh-huh.
I always, like, I don't know. I really want to know that story. Why did Superboy need a giant bowling ball?
Or need to stop a giant bowling ball.
Right. Like, who had the giant bowling ball?
This sounds like a Joker thing. That
well, it's like
happen.
It's like in Batman's The Batcave, there's the giant penny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
that
know
Superman's
where
Superman's giant penny.
I don't know where the giant penny comes from, and if anybody out there knows, please write us in a heraldically illuminated parchment using calligraphy.
God.
And we're going to go to that mailbox and we are going to be besieged
by heraldically
accurate
parchments.
It's going to happen.
Sure.
So, Superman at first he's like, what are you doing, Jimmy? Get this thing off you. And Jimmy's like, no, check this out. Why don't we...
Oh, God.
Reenact...
Oh, dear.
Your things with me dressed as Superboy. It'll be so cool.
Will it?
And Superman's like, I guess.
I guess.
So he reluctantly does it. And, the first thing is somebody falls out of a window.
It's a dummy, by the way.
Right, it is a dummy. But Superman has made a wire, a super strong invisible wire.
He took, like, cable for, like, bridges and stuff, and then, like, squeezed it until it turned into steel fishing wire.
Sure, because he could make anything out of anything. He knows how to make wires. So he swoops down, saves the dummy.
Dummy!
And then they go back to the records to see what else he had, and then, for some reason...
The page is torn out.
But...
Superman has super memory?
Yes! Because everything on Superman is super-sized. So he has super hearing, super sight, super smell, super taste.
Sure.
Super memory.
Just putting the word super in front of stuff doesn't A, make it official, or B, make it a power. He could just remember stuff well.
That's true, but, you know, he recalls it. that's all I can tell you. And then, like, in the 1950s, they weren't terribly aware or mindful of
what does and does not constitute a superpower.
Exactly. And again, this sets a stage that this digs a hole that eventually to the point where, like, they just threw all of these powers on Superman to the point where they had to completely restart the universe, and they have now made Superman perhaps one of the most boring characters of all time, because nobody really likes Superman that much.
Why couldn't they have just settled with, like, give him a good set of powers and leave it?
Well, they did.
Originally, he couldn't even fly.
I know.
This is...
All right. But we're getting off track.
Yeah. For what, like the 15th time probably this episode?
So the second thing is he saves...
a bank from being robbed.
He saves a bank from being robbed. And... No, there's a guy... No, it's not a bank being robbed. It's that there's a
guy stuck inside
A teller stuck inside the vault.
Who is suffocating.
So, Superboy had to break into the bank vault. And Superman makes it look like Jimmy Olsen is flying through the bank vault.
Because he uses his X-ray vision to see when Jimmy is coming at the vault, and then he tears a hole in the metal.
Right. So it makes it look like he's tearing it from the inside. So it's all very,
it's all very staged.
Very staged. But, oh, and then there's this shadowy figure.
Who lights a fire in the junkyard.
Right. Who lights a fire, and,
Superman sees this fire.
And then he goes and he puts it out. And he goes to the third... I guess the third thing is there's this... there's a flood that starts. And he's trying to protect Smallville from the flood.
By digging a trench.
Right.
With a giant sheet of metal.
Exactly. So... what you find out is that Cal Trent, the custodian of the Superboy relics, he's the one that's been sabotaging everything. Because there's this cup.
There's this tin cup.
Right. That
Superman's fingerprints have been burned into.
Right. Which is perhaps the single most thin premise I have ever seen for a guy to do stuff wrong. It is a thin premise. Would you not agree?
I'm not sure what you mean by a thin premise.
Like, it is a dumb reason why he has to sabotage all of these things.
He was trying to do a good thing.
But the thing is that Superboy used his heat vision to melt the prints off of the cup.
He didn't know that.
And then they also posit the theory that Superboy was actually...
the guy who disappeared at the same time Clark Kent left town.
Right. Which apparently doesn't mean anything to anybody else. Because nobody says, like... Nobody writes any news stories that says, hey, we figured out who Superboy is.
Well, the custodian wanted to keep it a secret.
Right. But, you know, it's just... it's ridiculous. He's just terrible. So then... we have at the very end, we have underneath a Daisy gun book. So you can find out about guns. That is for boys, girls, and dads. But not moms! To hell with moms! Moms don't need guns!
What if they do?
Nope. Don't need them. So then you find out, there's the DC comic ad. There's the DC ad. Which is Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone, two famous Indian fighting heroes of fearless frontier days.
This is when Native Americans were still villainized heavily.
Correct. Now featured in two new comic magazines. So there's Frontier Fighters and Daniel Boone.
Uh-huh.
And so this is also the rise of the genre comic book.
Genre comic
book. Right, like... the Western comic book, the Frontier Hero comic book, the War comic book. This is when all that stuff started going around. And so, because I know that everybody focuses on superheroes and how they're amazing and how they're this, like, great.
But now they want to talk about people like Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone.
But who the were thing just is, people. Okay, so at the end of 1969, uh-huh. by the time 1970 started, which is all through the Marvel heyday.
The heyday?
Like, this is when Marvel started. This is when, like, Marvel Comics started in, like, well, Fantastic Four number one was, like, I think 1963. So, like, all of these comic books, so all the superheroes have come to town, and they've been established for almost 10 years at this point. In 1969, the biggest selling comic book was?
Daniel Boone.
Nope.
Frontier something or other.
Nope.
Was it the teddy bear smoking a cigarette that I saw in your comic book collection?
I wish. No. The most popular comic book in the end of the 1960s was Archie Comics.
Paisley will be elated to hear that.
For everybody at home, Paisley is El Plum's sister, who at some point might make a guest appearance on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
So... You know, people were really more interested in other comics other than superheroes.
I like superheroes.
Look, superheroes are great. I'm not saying that they're terrible. I'm just saying that at the end of the, you know, during, like, the one of the golden age, like, I think at this point it's the Silver Age. At the end of the Silver Age,
Archie was more popular than Superman.
Or Batman.
I can't see that
happening. It's true.
I like Batman and Superman.
Well, sure. But they made that Riverdale comic, that Riverdale TV show.
Riverdale.
Riverdale is the place where Archie takes place.
Oh, okay.
That's the town that Archie lives in, is Riverdale.
Okay.
I am actually waiting because, you know, as we also know, there's also going to be a Netflix series about The Punisher. Did you know this?
Which one's The Punisher?
He's the guy who wears the big skull on his shirt. Started out as a Spider-Man villain, then became like an anti-hero and showed up in Daredevil a lot.
Oh, okay.
But eventually got his own book.
I vaguely remember you talking about him a couple of times.
Well, there was one episode. There was a one-shot crossover. And if I'm lying, I'm not, because I know that I own this. Go into that big box of comic books and find it out.
There are two.
It is an issue, crossover issue, Archie meets the Punisher.
How did that turn out?
Okay, so then after that we have Varsity Vic. And Varsity Vic, you know, he's a common everyday teenager.
Sure.
And he talks to a mechanic who says, "Can you fix my car?" And... he says, "Yeah, a new battery will cost you $10, a new ignition system, $15, new points, $450, complete adjusting of the..." Varsity Vic stops him and is like, "I can't afford all that. I'm going to have to just drive it as it is."
It's not even $40.
I know.
How broke is this kid if he has a car?
Well, also, like, we live in a time where what he's talking about was probably like... at least $500 worth of service. So Varsity Vic is driving around, and his friend sees him. He's like, "Boy, what a snappy car, Vic. I wish I could afford one like that." And then Vic says, "So do I, because I'm a teenager and I'm poor and I can't afford it. Okay, so I have to point this one out. Now, normally...
we just skip over the story.
We skip over this story, because it's usually like some, like, action story about somebody.
A whaling adventure in Alaska.
Exactly. Like, one's about fishing, one's about whaling, one's about an avalanche, and there's usually some kind of narrative in this, but this is a story.
About parakeets.
About how parakeet fever is sweeping the United States.
Is it?
I guess in the 1950s, like, everybody wanted a parakeet. Now, I'll tell you, when I was young, I had a parakeet.
Is this the one that you...
No. This is not that one. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to relate a story to you that... I'm going to have to relate a story to you that when I was very young, very young...
Why are you saying it so angry?
We had a bird. Who was a canary. Mm. Was not a parakeet. That bird's name was Petey.
Aww.
Petey was a great bird. Mm-hmm. Apparently, so I'm told. I was really, really young. I don't even remember any of this happening. But he would, when we would eat dinner, he would come to the table and peck at crumbs off the table. And one day, we let him fly around the house as a rule. One day, I noticed that if I took a wiffle ball bat and hit near Petey, Petey would fly. I know what you're all thinking. I just want to reiterate how young I was at this particular moment in my life. And then, one day, while I was doing that, I would go, "Fly, Petey!" And then, whap, near him. And then Petey would fly away. "Fly, Petey!" Whap, and then Petey would fly away. And then, "Fly, Petey!" And then Petey started to go. But his feet were caught in the carpet. And a whack. But here's the thing. He didn't die right away. He died later of internal injuries. Look, I am not proud of this story. This is not a happy moment in my life. If you wish to write something on parchment to tell me what a horrible person I am that is heraldically correct...
Yes, this time it has to be heraldically correct.
I understand it.
And in calligraphy.
And I deserve it. But I wish to reiterate that I was very young. And it is one of the things that I deeply, deeply regret, even though I have no memory of it. So I want to thank my daughter... for forcing me have to tell this story.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
It's fine. So, for some reason, and I really have no idea why. I don't know. Was he?
I think perhaps DC was in the pocket of Big Parakeet.
Oh.
But I will also say that I had a parakeet after Petey that was also named Petey. Because we did not believe in originality in our names. I had three cats named Tom. We had a cat named Tom. And two other cats named Thomasina.
Because it was a girl?
And there was a movie. There was a movie called Thomasina about a cat that... I think is a cat that died and came back to life.
Aww.
It's a book. Look it up, people.
Okay.
So, I had a parakeet. And they're talking about how a parakeet loves, like talks and does all these little tricks and stuff. I had a parakeet. That parakeet hated me. Anytime I would come near that parakeet would bite my finger. And not just like a little playful bite, like a hang on. Like, I couldn't put my hand in that cage. It wasn't pleasant.
How old were you?
I was at least in my teens.
Okay.
We had him for a while. But
so you were smart enough not to, like, stick your fingers through the bars?
No way, because it hurt like hell.
No, you were smart enough not to.
And he wasn't friendly. And we never let him. Every time he got out, it was like a big... Like, he just wanted to go. He just wanted to leave. All right, so...
You got a grumpy one, then.
Okay, now that I've gotten all of this out of my face. We will go to the last story. Jimmy Olsen, crooner. If you had the choice, which would you rather be? A cub reporter or a famous young crooner? That was just the difficult choice facing Jimmy Olsen one day. But how did Jimmy, of all people, suddenly get a singing voice? It will both amaze and amuse you when Superman's pal reaches a crossroads in his life. As a quirk of fate launches the career of Jimmy Olsen,
Crooner. And we see Superman reading the paper. And there's a thing, picture of Jimmy Olsen in front of a microphone. And it says, Crooner Olsen is Bobby Sox's favorite. And Superman's thinking, there he goes, ex-Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen, now a famous crooner. I wonder if he misses our former adventures together as much as I do. So we find out that he gets an assignment from Perry White, the editor-in-chief, to go looking for a guy who's embezzling stuff. A guy named Charles Gordon. Not to be confused with Charles Grodin. Who also played an embezzler in the movie Midnight Run.
Lovely trivia, Dad.
Alright, so he's walking around town, like he's taking the beat. He's asking at all these rooming houses. Do you know what a rooming house is?
No.
It's just basically a place where deadbeats go. If you want to hide out from, like, fall off the grid, you go to, like an SRO or a rooming house where you just basically get a room and then you just pay money and there's no real record of you. And it's a good place to hide. Anyway, so they can't find him. So he goes all over the place looking for this guy, this embezzler. And I guess he asks a lot of questions, and more questions than usual, because he gets a hoarse voice. And then he goes out with his pal, Clark Kent.
He was also
Kent.
Recovering from a cold, so like his voice was already kind of gone.
It says here, no luck, Clark. Gosh, my voice is still harsh from asking questions at 100 places. Apparently there are at least 100 rooming houses in...
Metropolis,
which is weird.
It's a big city.
It is. So Clark says, hey, let's kick it. So they go to a place called the Scoop Coop.
Sounds like an ice cream parlor.
And this is apparently a restaurant, maybe at some point in time.
Like an old-timey, badly named ice cream parlor.
Maybe at some point in time we'll come back to the Scoop Coop, but I have a feeling that this is the one and only time that we will ever see the Scoop Coop. It's a restaurant that people go to that's it's free for members of the newspaper to eat, but they give you a piece of paper, and whatever's written on the paper, you have to perform in front of the group this whatever's on the paper. And so they first see the first look, like, there's a guy over there, and he gets up, and he's up there, and he's saying, to be or not to be, that is the question.
So he had to do, like, a drama skit?
He had to do a soliloquy from?
Shakespeare.
Specifically?
Hamlet?
Act?
I don't know.
That's fine.
It is the famous to be or not to be speech. And Jimmy opens his up and he says, sing a popular song like a crooner. And Jimmy's like, I can't sing and I've got this hoarse voice. And Clark just says, just go. And so he goes up and he sings and he's still got a husky voice. And
teenage girls loved it.
Apparently, yeah, teenage girls love his voice.
Like that. Not his normal voice.
Right. They love this new voice. And so then there's a newspaper article that's written about him. Young Singer Discovery. Where you find out that, you know, Jimmy Olsen is a singer. And everybody loves him. And
Pretty much, yeah. He
winds up being in recording studios and on the radio and... And all the girls are like, Jimmy Olsen,
Dad.
What?
Teenage girls do not sound like
Apparently
that.
Apparently they do with Jimmy in Metropolis.
And in the 1950s.
And he's like, he's getting fan mail suddenly.
Where are people getting his address?
It's like some kind of switch gets flipped, much like the one where he's the billionaire. Where he's the millionaire, and suddenly, without warning, like, he just calls the guy who makes you, like, a millionaire. And now, so they have this picture of Jimmy Olsen in a silk robe that he must have saved from his millionaire days and an ascot, and he's signing. And so he's standing around the he then goes to the offices and he starts singing, and Perry White can't stand it. He's like, you got to get out of here. Like, you can't. Don't be singing here. And Jimmy Olsen's like, I'm out of here.
I'm going to be a celebrity.
And Clark is in the background. He's like, ouch.
I was afraid of this.
Was he, though?
I don't. Apparently.
Was he?
So.
It's a very out of the blue thing, though.
It is, really. So, he goes out. And he walks down the street.
And 1950s fangirls.
And he gets mobbed by a group of girls. Because that's what they used to do to Elvis.
Really?
That's what they say. They said they, you know, they like rip him apart. And so he summons Superman to get him out of the deal. And you realize that he realizes that, you know, fame isn't all it's cracked up to be.
So he starts wearing more disguises.
He's trapped in his apartment. And he can't get out, but he dresses like a podunk guy and gets away, and he's like, I gotta get out of here. And he's just walking the street when, what does he run into?
That embezzler.
The embezzler guy.
He was looking for, that people vaguely remember.
Absolutely, like, out of nowhere, completely falls, you know.
He's like, I know a fake mustache when I see one, and that is a fake mustache.
Because I wear a ton of fake mustaches. But first, the embezzler tries to throw him into a ditch, and then he manages to summon Superman with his watch, and then Superman shows up and gets him a big scoop.
Uh-huh.
And but also, Superman then brings him to his next gig, and then he finds out that his voice is all healed.
And people hate his singing voice.
And people suddenly hate his singing voice. And he goes back, and he crawls in.
And
he's like, so Jimmy's like, he's really depressed because he doesn't think that he's going to get his job back. But since he did write the article about the embezzler
and catch the embezzler
and caught the embezzler,
he gets his job back. Also, this is Jimmy Olsen.
And once again, everything is returned to normal. And now we have, and then we have BB, who's a girl pushing a little
baby
cart,
stroller.
And then somebody's playing with BB, and the girl's saying, I wonder what time it is. And BB says, well, it isn't 4 o'clock. And the friend says, how do you know? Because my mother told me I was to be home at 4, and I'm not.
But
right. It is a Dagwood level.
What's a Dagwood?
Dagwood is Blondie. It's a Blondie level. It is a Wizard of Iz level comic. Things that you read in the newspaper.
Then we have greeting cards.
For 1 cent only. And you can make $50.
Right. And then.
That seems like less of a scam than some of the other ones.
The Hollywood Bride walking doll. Oh no, they're all scams.
Fair enough.
But again, once again, we have the Hollywood Bride walking doll, which is a girl dressed in an elaborate bride costume who has all these other things.
All these other costumes.
And, again, isn't it mostly boys that are reading Jimmy Olsen?
I don't know.
And this is a time when gender roles are really, really strictly enforced. Why are they advertising?
Maybe their sisters wanted to look through the comic books.
I don't know. And then, in the back, the very end, it's a Tootsie Roll, America's favorite candy. And you find out that Tootsie Roll is a hit with boys and girls everywhere. And they talk about some of the Tootsie Roll candies. Now, we all know what Tootsie Rolls are.
Yeah.
And they have Tootsie Pops, which they still have. But now they have
Tootsie
Caramel, Tootsie Coconut Fudge.
I would not eat that.
Neither would I. The Rollins do not like coconut. So, if anyone out there wants to send us anything,
don't send
please
coconut.
Don't send us stuff with coconut, which of course now means we're going to get a ton of coconut.
We'll just give it to the friends who like coconut.
And then Tootsie Fudge.
Tootsie Fudge.
And that wraps up issue 8. Yay! Libby Olsen, comma crooner.
Yay!
Until next time, I am Gary Roland.
I'm Ella Plum Roland.
And we'll see you pals around?
I don't know.
The new one?
We're still working on it.
I know. All right, bye!
Bye!